Fredrickson.
And I'm Jason Moiseso.
And Jason, how are you? How are you feeling?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing real good.
Did you recover from Dulce okay?
I mean, vaguely. I feel like I'm still one whole person. I don't think I've been, like, conscripted into some sort of awkward multi-species task force or anything. So,
well, that's good.
Maybe I have, and I just didn't remember. So we'll see.
I would guess that you probably have.
If I go off the grid for a while, then you know what's up.
Well, there you go. Well, I'm glad you survived. I'm glad that you've not been co-opted into anything. I was kind of, I don't know, surprised, disappointed that we didn't get any, that Richard Doty didn't reach out to us, you know? Part of me was like, he definitely would do this. He would definitely, like, hear a podcast about himself and then be like, these people are ripe for my disinformation campaign, and then try to do something. But he didn't, as far as I know. Full disclosure, I don't check email anymore, almost ever. So it's entirely possible that he actually has reached out a number of times.
Dude, I don't even check social media anymore.
You know, I'm right about there. I had to send my phone off to get repaired, and it was like, at first
it's
freeing,
isn't it?
Yeah. I was like, how am I going to live without my phone? And then I was without my phone for 5 days.
How many books did you read in that 5 days?
I didn't read all my books. I didn't read a single book fully, but I read a lot of a book, which is Rubicon, which is about Julius Caesar and the death of the Roman Republic. So
that sounds awesome.
It's pretty good. I really enjoy it.
I'll wait for the Netflix adaptation.
Okay. I think HBO's Rome is probably a pretty good. I've heard about that show, but I've never seen it. So I have HBO now, as we talked about last time as well. So yeah,
gotta get my Teen Titans on, man. I get it.
There you go. Anyway, so I'm glad we're all okay, and not having any lasting reptilian side effects, because that's always a possibility. As you go into the reptoid zone, and then the reptoid zone never leaves you, you carry it with you until you die. And so I'm glad we both seem to be doing okay.
Isn't that what they want us to think?
Yep.
Okay.
Is.
All right. Got it. Perfect.
And speaking of what they want us to think.
No.
Today, we are going to do our subject today, as I said at the end of last episode, and I said it in such a way that made me sound like a prepubescent 14-year-old boy because my voice wouldn't stop cracking. Today we're going to talk about Project Bluebeam, which is the latest in a series that we like to call conspiracies that Jason just doesn't understand. Here's the thing about this particular series, Jace, as I'm sure you know. Well, it always goes on for way too long.
Right? It doesn't make any sense. Also, why are there so many projects that have the color blue in them?
I know.
Let's give the other colors some options here. Project Red Beam would have been cool.
Project,
I guess.
Burnt Sienna Beam.
Ooh. Aren't we fancy
Project
now?
Project Banana Stand Beam. Anyway, I don't know if that's a Crayola color or not, but I don't
Project
think
School
is.
Bus Yellow Beam.
There you go. There you go. No, so we usually, when we do these conspiracies, Jason just doesn't understand. They're usually like, oh, this is going to be easy and quick. And then it turns into like a three-parter about the reptilians again. But I promise you, that's not what's going to happen today.
Which I did have to ask you before sitting down today, whether or not there is more, or if this is where we're ending it when you sent me over the notes. So thankfully, there is no more.
Sometimes when you spend like 10 hours studying, researching something like this, when you are done researching it, it's like you have clawed your way up from Hades and like you are free to enjoy the delights of this mortal life again. And so as soon as I got all of the information I needed on the page, I just shut my laptop and I walked away from it, and I haven't touched it since until right now. And so that is why the notes seem to just abruptly end, as opposed to like having a nice little closing section like we usually do. So, yeah.
Perfect.
Let's get into it. What do you think?
I mean, you know what I think. I just don't understand. But explain to everyone else what I don't understand, Sam.
All right. In this nice, neat, self-contained one-part series, I don't even think it's a series because it's a one-parter, which I feel like we haven't had in a very long time.
Oh, so this is our project Once in a Blue Moon?
This is our project Once in a Blue Moon, exactly. We're talking about Project Blue Beam. Project Blue Beam is one of those things that I have had in my head since the beginning of the podcast and thought, huh, it'd be neat to talk about Blue Beam, but I don't really know if I want to. I don't really know if that fits our dynamic, demographic, whatever. But 130 episodes in, we finally ramped up the energy, the true chaotic energy that we need to talk about this. So here we go. Blue Beam, BB, PBB, these are all things I might call it, but I'll probably just call it Project Blue Beam over and over and over again. Project Blue Beam is, as far as we can tell, the brainchild of one very terrible man who just happens to be from the Canadian province of Quebec, which is also where our very good friends Brian and Angelo of the Double Density podcast are from. Now, is that a coincidence? I couldn't say. I don't know. It's possible. It's possible not. Now, this man's name is Serge Monast. I don't know.
Are you okay?
However you want to say it. Serge. I'm not okay. No, actually. I'm very much not. Serge Monast. I'm sure that's a mispronunciation. He is actually a hidden pillar of modern conspiracy theory. And that's one of the interesting things about Blue Beam, as we'll see, is that Blue Beam kind of can function very well in like the grand unified conspiracy theory of reality.
Well, I think there's like, sorry, I did cut you off there, but I think there's definitely like a part of Blue Beam and the conspiracy around it that you can cut out and you can just have a good old fashioned government conspiracy pretty easily. Obviously, we're going to understand probably what that portion you can cut out would be in just a few minutes. But there is definitely like a lens put over like the project itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. Yeah, it is a massive idea that has really taken. We're gonna streamline it for you, but you could find all sorts of different variations on this that you want. But the core of Blue Beam is what Monast was most terrified and paranoid about his entire life, which was the New World Order. Now, Monast in no way created the idea of the New World Order. As we'll see, it's been around for like ever, actually. But the New World Order, the idea that there is some shadowy organization that actually runs the world in secret, who will one day soon run the world in not so secret, that is the core idea here.
Is that like in the not too soon future, in the soon future, is that present day? Or are we like
it's
saying
coming.
That from, I mean, yes, sure. But the second coming of Christ has been like coming for a while now, right?
It's coming.
You know, like
it's coming, boy.
What
Get
kind of
right.
context are we putting this as? Was this like spoken originally?
What?
Like in?
It's coming.
Okay. It's got it. Okay.
It's happening.
Yeah.
Look around you, Jace.
Uh-huh.
It's happening right now. And that's really
it's
part of why
I'm in
I
the
wanted
basement,
to do.
Then.
That's really part of the reason I wanted to do Blue Beam at this particular historic moment, because normally it'd be like, wow, that's crazy. I could never. And now it's like, oh, that's just that could be July. That could just be the next thing that happens in 2020 because
I mean, I expect Yellowstone to blow up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's I keep Googling every day.
I expect that to be the end of the year.
I have a Google alert set for Yellowstone earthquakes. So we'll just see what happens there. Does anybody still use Google alerts?
No.
They're a fun concept.
You're the only person that I know of that has ever spoken of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because you're like, I set up a Google alert for paranormal stuff. That was like 4 years ago. And you're like, I was like, all right.
Yeah, and you know how many of those things that I've gotten every single day since that we've ever used in this show?
Probably like...
Not a single one. Never. Literally every single one of them are about like cattle deaths in somewhere in the developing world. And they're all like, we don't know what's killing these cattle. I'm like, I know what it is. It's aliens. And they're like, nah,
That's an open and closed case right there if I ever knew one.
That's just how this works, how things work, or how stuff works. There you go. Anyway, so the New World Order is run, for instance, by like the Illuminati. Okay, so
naturally.
It's this concept that used to be the exclusive purview of conspiracy theorists, and now... It's very much grown into like a mainstream, like kind of a joke meme. The Illuminati used to be like this secret word that like you only knew if you really were knowing what was going on. And now it's like, oh, everybody knows about the Illuminati.
Right. It's entered pop culture.
Right. Which is maybe part of their plan, right? It could be part of their plan. To like, who cares? It's the Illuminati. Haha, we all know about the Illuminati.
I mean, I don't take them seriously or any claims about it seriously, so.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, all right. So, at the start of this, what we need to know, and we need to know this, we need to just believe this, we just need to get in Serge Manasse's head, as terrible as it's going to be for the next hour or so. So, this is what we know without a shadow of a doubt. There is a shadowy group, an evil organization that is running the world, and they are going to presently, very soon, come clean, and not necessarily come clean, but just make it public and kind of drop the pretenses, okay? How is that going to happen? How could we possibly, in this country, where... We value our freedom so much that even put on a damn mask.
How
are we possibly going to submit to the New World
Order? If they're already ruling, then why do they have to, like, come out?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of a... I've had that same question
myself. How are they new if they're already ruling?
Yeah. Well, they're, like, in the beginning of ruling. They're, like, getting there. It's not complete yet. I think that's what this is it's a transfer from, like, an incomplete realm of rule to a complete totalitarian, like, every single aspect of your life sort of a thing, which is something you just can't do from the background unless you're Facebook, in which case they can do it from the background, no problem. Now, the way that this is going to happen, the way that this New World Order gets implemented... That is Serge Monas' masterwork, his Dulce papers, if you will. And that is what Project Bluebeam is. Bluebeam is the plan in four simple steps, to install the New World Order through a masterful stroke of visual trickery and fear. And of course, the prophecy is unfulfilled to this day. It was promised in 1983, 1984, the year 2000, and then when that didn't work, the year 2001. Yet, we're doing this today because who knows? It could be this year. Like I said, it could just be July. And if it happens, I want you all to know what's going on so that we can all fight the good fight together. And make no mistake, it will be a fight.
Well, that's very thoughtful for you, Sam.
Thank you. Now, the culmination of Blue Book. See, that I knew was going to be a very prominent problem in this episode. The culmination of Bluebeam is a laser light show unlike anything you've ever seen before. But we've got one main step to take before we get to that step first. So, taking over the world in four simple steps. Step one. Undermine God. How are we going to do this? the first step to unseat God and to usurp his throne. And again, this is what we know.
So wait, to what ends? So that we can essentially become worshipped, yes, quote unquote?
So that the new world order could be worshipped. Yes, yeah, yeah. Because God is what stops us from becoming a hell state, is apparently Serge Monast's idea, is that without God, we're gonna become just a hell state.
Weird. So much for free will.
Yeah, exactly. So, the first step to unseat God and usurp his throne begins where all good conspiracies begin, which is, of course, deep within the earth. Now, I promise I'm not talking about reptilians again. They obviously can factor very heavily in this if you want them to. And again, that's the thing about Bluebeam. It's very plug and play. It's very like bring your own conspiracy to this and then map it out and you can make it work with whatever you want. But we're not going to talk about the reptilians today, that specific variant. No, we're going to talk about something even more sinister, which is the falsification of archaeological records. So from the start, one of the main goals of Project Bluebeam is to destroy the Christian religion because, in Monast's thought, that's really the only one that's standing in the way of the New World Order from taking over. This is a very typical part of the New World Order's conspiracy theories, and so it should be no surprise that, as we'll see, a good amount of Monast's source material is unabashedly and famously anti-Semitic. And that the entire focus of the conspiracy was the way that the NWO, as it were, would be the garb of Satan himself. And we could talk for a whole episode, if not more, about the very intimate and personal relationship that religious fundamentalism and global conspiracy theory enjoy. And maybe we will one day. But today, all you gotta know is that Project Bluebeam is about the Christians. It's about messing up the Christians. That's why they're doing this. They're the ones that the NWO want to destroy, and they're going to do it in style.
So it's not the government, specifically.
The government is a part of this.
Okay.
All of the governments of Earth are currently controlled by the NWO.
So it's Hydra. Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It may not be explicit. They may not know they are, but they are.
Okay, I'm following.
Now, the first thing that they're going to do, the first step, is that they're going to trigger earthquakes that will reveal, quote-unquote, reveal planted objects that seem to undermine traditional religion. Now, Bluebeam is egalitarian in some respects because it's not just the Christian religion that is going to be deceived into thinking that their traditional way of thought was misinterpreted in some way near the start. The idea that really your religion has never been what you've thought it was. It was always something else, but it was just twisted and corrupted and made weird over the centuries and millennia.
So then Project Bluebeam is to undermine all previous religious thought.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Okay.
But especially the Christians.
Okay.
Because they're the ones that are going to resist this the most. Because Monast seems to think that people, other religious people, just kind of don't care that much. And that if we were to come in and try to take away their religion, they'd be like, whatever. Yeah, it's fine. I don't need it anyway.
Can I offer you some crusades?
Oh, Lord.
As,
no, you cannot.
Historical evidence to the contrary?
There you go. Now, these triggered earthquakes, as well as other archaeological finds that will be found without the triggered earthquakes, are going to undermine religion. And when I first read this, I thought we were going to go for some pretty cool, like, reimagining or, like, even disinformation. Not that I think that this is disinformation, but like there was, for instance, there have been like recent discoveries that the ancient Israelites burnt cannabis on their altars during worship.
Nice.
Or like the way that Solomon's Temple archaeology has showed us that Solomon's Temple was actually in very, very close proximity to other cultic activity in the area and that there was no apparent conflict between the two. Those are some of those good controversial archaeological and anthropological finds, right?
Yeah.
That's what I think. We're like, really hit them at the root. Like, really make them wonder. But that's not what Monast is thinking. No, his thing, his big thing, as it would appear from his lectures, is the way that archaeology, as well as pop culture, has been used to confirm the concept of evolution, which seems to undermine religion so much that you might as well just declare that there is no God at all if you are going to believe that human beings are descended from something that is not a human being. And I still know a decent amount of people in my real life who think this way as well. Let me just say this. I don't want anybody's letters on this at all. Like I said, I don't check anything. So I don't, it's not going to come through. So these archaeological finds are going to be backed by other pop culture events manipulated by the New World Order to back their godless ideas. Monas specifically puts Jurassic Park on blast. He's like, Jurassic Park is a way.
The book or the movie?
Both of them. But probably specifically the movie, I would think.
Oh, man. When was the book written?
I don't know when the book was
written. I'm trying to put this in the frame. So I'm assuming he's talking about this in the early 80s, right?
Yeah. Yeah, like late 70s, early 80s, I think.
Oh, it was published in 1990. So this was... Wow. It got turned
the
into a movie.
The book was published?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it got turned into a movie real quick.
Yeah, that's wild. I had no idea.
That's a really quick turnaround. That's super cool. Anyway, yeah, so this has to be a development that happened at least somewhat later into this notion.
Yes, absolutely. Monas, a lot of what I'm taking from this is transcribed from a 1995 lecture that he gave. So, which is actually, that's the exact same timeline that Schneider, crap, that Philip Schneider was talking about Dulce. So who knows? These might be even more intimately connected than we thought. But yeah, the Jurassic Park thing is a later addition as time goes on. But from the start, it's been evolution is the problem. The other thing that he talks about specifically is like 2001 A Space Odyssey, the opening scene with the ape men, Star Wars, as well as he also throws in Star Trek for good measure. These are all tools of the New World Order.
So every pop culture reference that is sci-fi.
Oh, yeah. All the sci-fi
so
is evil.
Does he ever bring up anything like... War of the Worlds, or anything else that was previous to, I would say, the modern era of sci-fi?
I think he actually might have mentioned War of the Worlds. I didn't write it down, but it plays very well into, I think, like, step three or step four, that idea of...
So is his idea, like, technology is evil then?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. It's a anti-tech sort of stance.
Okay.
Is what you often see in these sorts of religion or religious conspiracies, right? Like you all the time, every time that there's ever any like discussion about what your smartphone can do, it's like, "Oh, is your smartphone the mark of the beast?" Like the microchip in your smartphone, could that be the mark of the beast? And it's like, "Huh, maybe that's not what the entire book of Revelation is actually about." Anyway, again, I'd love to talk about that later, but that we gotta keep this going. So you have all of these different pop culture phenomena. You also have the entire field of biological anthropology, which combines to start melting the religious convictions that have held the Western world together for around 2,000 years. Okay. Once this is done, this will leave us ready, or perhaps already has left us ready, for the next step, the one that most people who have any sort of familiarity with Blue Beam think of when they think of Blue Beam. And it really truly is the dopest of them all, I would say. And I mean this in a very... this is a great theory. Like, this is a really cool idea. I, of course, think it's complete wacky noodle-do, but... it's a very interesting idea, and here's the idea. Through the use of advanced technology, which the government already has and is, of course, holding out on us, there will be, all around the world, at the exact same moment, manifestations of God or his messengers that appear in the sky. Now, this is going to be fine-tuned. It's not just going to be Jesus. It's not just going to be Buddha or Krishna or Muhammad. It's going to be all these people and every other deity that is like currently being worshipped, or in some of the more like secular atheist societies, it is going to be deities that have been traditionally worshipped in the past. Okay.
So it sounds like all the like mega churches are pooling their resources together.
Exactly. Yes, very much so.
It's going to be a pretty sweet service.
And it's important to note that this is absolutely not how the world works in any sort of a way. For instance, if this were to happen and God appeared over the sky, and it's whatever God you've always worshipped or has historically been the one you've worshipped, like, what are they going to do on the Gaza Strip? Okay, what are they going to do in the Chinese countryside and the more rural areas?
Well, where, there's like, also, like, hundreds of Hindu gods, so...
Yeah, exactly. And, like, think about the traditional religion, traditional folk religion, which still permeates much of the world, that we as Westerners are like, ah, that's stupid. But we only say that because we're being completely ethnocentrist. In forms of, like, ancestor worship, like, are your ancestors going to be in the sky? And if so, how is that possibly going to work? When you see like everyone's ancestors in the sky, but then you also see another deity on top of them for everybody who doesn't participate in ancestor worship in that specific area. It's just going to be a sky full of old people, and it's going to be dope. It's going to be very dope.
So I think this is one of the issues of like this very Christian focused take, is that it's very like ignorant to all the other religions and forms of worship around the world.
Absolutely.
And like I feel like this is a very, very heavy note when it comes to this project, and honestly the conspiracies that involve like taking down Christians and of that nature, is that it's very exclusive.
It's very much like, oh, I know how religion works because I have my own religion, which is fine. But that means that you know how your religion works. That does not mean that you know how all religion works. And I think that's something we see very clearly in Monast's writings, is this very much like, oh, there's only one right Western way to do everything. And so that's how this is going to be done all throughout the world.
So how are we making, let's just set that aside and just say, okay, whatever, that's possible. How are they appearing?
Well, they're holograms.
Are they holograms or are they projections? Because those are two different things.
Well, I don't know. They're holographic projections is what Serge Monast says.
Okay, gotcha. So straight out of R2-D2 asking for our help.
Exactly, yeah. Except without the dead giveaway of like the other light around her, around the beings.
Okay.
Yeah. It's just going to be a sky full of grandpas. It's going to be great. It's going to be very good. At this point, once the holograms are in place, Bluebeam, which is one or a number of or all of the satellites in the sky, will literally beam directly into the brains of all those who are witnessing these glorious and terrifying visions, which is everyone around the face of around the world at the same time. Now, these satellites have spent years doing what we might describe as machine learning, which is feeding all of the different languages of the world into the computers on the satellites so that they can learn and speak all the different dialects and nuances of the spoken languages and all of that.
Well, all the spoken language that are around technology then.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Well, but the technology is in space.
Right, right.
This is being done in space.
So... Right, where sound can't travel because
Jason,
waves don't work in a vacuum.
Jason, do not be obtuse. We beam our television through space, okay? That doesn't mean that when it gets here, we don't have receivers.
It's not a sound wave, though.
Yeah, this isn't a sound wave either.
Right, so what I'm saying is that... So you'd have to be around technology, is what I'm getting at. So if we're looking at like a third world village... whatever language is spoken there is not getting recorded.
It is not recorded.
By what?
Sure it is.
By what?
By, like, cultural anthropologists and stuff like that who are all in bed with the NWO. All the social sciences are in bed with the NWO.
Okay. Oh, you didn't tell me that.
Jason, you're not thinking big
enough. So, wait. So what you're telling me is everyone is in the NWO.
Everyone is in the NWO. I'm probably
without knowing that they're in the NWO or exactly. Have not spilled the beans on the NWO.
Exactly. A cultural anthropologist goes to a tribe in a developing nation, spends their entire life learning about this tribe, cataloging them, becoming a part of it, you know, understanding their language. They write about it because that's what you do in the social sciences. You write about things. And then the NWO takes their knowledge and sends it up to space via astronauts who put it in the computer.
To then destroy their religious culture.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm following.
Yeah.
Sam,
what the?
How many times have you had a secret?
Jason,
and how well are you at keeping those secrets?
The only people keeping these secrets are the ones at the very top. Nobody else knows what's going on. The only person keeping the secret is the person pulling the strings. The anthropologist doesn't know what's going on. The astronaut doesn't know what's going on. The satellite builder doesn't know what's going on. And this is actually a model which does it, like, not to get conspiratorial, it does work. This is how we built, like, the atom bomb, is that everything was assembled in a different place. Nobody knew what it was that they were doing. They were just like, oh, this is the part that we build for the thing, whatever the thing is. I don't know. We build this part. They then all get shipped off. They get assembled together, and then it becomes the flaming sword of death that it is. This is something that does happen. I don't know that it happens to this extent.
There's
or
just
in
a
this
lot of
specific
cogs,
way.
Is what I'm getting at.
There are
at.
A lot of cogs. But if the cogs don't know anything, then it's fine.
All right, so the timepiece just keeps ticking.
Yes. Exactly. So they're getting these, all the different languages of the earth beamed into their head. Well, not all of them. Their own specific language, including their own specific regional dialect. All of this hard work is going to pay off when every single person sees their personal or national god above them and hears them individually being addressed in their native tongue, being told that there is nothing to fear, and that all of the religions of the earth are simply corruptions and variations on a theme, misinterpretations of one supreme, ultimate truth, which has been obscured by the religious piety of man. At this point, the entire sky, flooded with grandpas and animal deities and Jesus and Muhammad, will coalesce to a single point, and all of the gods will fall into each other to reveal the one supreme and absolute truth, the Messiah, which is a thoroughly Jewish idea that does not have an analogous part in many world religions, especially those further east. And yet, Monas' entire idea is based around the fact that this Messiah-like figure is something that is integral to all religions. Again, he
naturally
knows how his religion works. But in reality, this Messiah will be the Antichrist, which is, of course, what all of those gods but one were anyway, according to Monas' logic. Now, the creators of Project Blue Book, which it's interesting to note.
It's Grandpa,
who,
isn't it?
It's Grandpa.
Grandpa's the one non-Antichrist.
Now,
I knew it.
Jason, that is...
Isn't
obviously the wrong answer.
But what
it
if?
Is beautiful. It is beautiful. When we're talking about the creator of Project Bluebeam, that's a very interesting question in Monas' opinion. Not mine, though. But in his opinion, he thinks it's a NASA, majority NASA program. Like it's NASA's Project Bluebeam, right?
Have
it's
you,
the NWO's
I don't know,
Project Bluebeam.
Have you seen NASA's budget recently?
I know.
They're not doing a lot.
So now, maybe if Monas was still alive, which, spoiler alert, he is not, maybe it would be like SpaceX is the new Project Bluebeam person. I don't know. But Somebody, whoever it is that's creating this, they're smart enough to know that a good amount of religious folk aren't going to be so quick to betray their most sacred and ancient beliefs just because of something strange that happened to them one time. So there are two very important steps that need to be taken in order to consolidate control. Now, it's worth noting that the same technology that is used to beam the sound of God directly into their brain can also be used to change people's behavior. And part one is Grandpa in the Sky, part two is Grandpa in the Brain.
So hold on.
Part three, yes.
So if you can just beam into someone and change their behavior, why do you need to do all the showy, all the gods in the heavens?
Because it only counts if you trick folk. It only counts if you're tricking people to give up their own freedom. It's not about taking their freedom. It's about getting them to willfully give it up by wearing a mask at the grocery store.
But at this point, so Sam, I feel like you have some very strong feelings about personal freedoms and the fact that some folk put that idea before public health and safety.
Whatever gave you that idea?
And being
Jason.
Thoughtful towards their own community.
What gave you that idea?
Just a couple comments you made. I'm very perceptive.
Okay, you are very perceptive. I do enjoy that about you. Again, I don't want any letters. I'm not going to read them. Go ahead.
But Sam, if I mean, I know for myself, if I saw deities in the sky at this point in time, I would just think it's a really cool light show.
Right. That's the problem.
So
that's why we have to take this a step further.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So,
and that's where part three of step two comes in, which you cut me off before you allowed me to say what it was.
But I was going to ask you, would you think the same? Would you think that it is actually the gods have come to,
that's a good question,
like, distort our worldview? Or would you be like, oh, that's a really cool high power projector that's being shown? Like, how would you perceive it? Because I would perceive it as probably that, because there's more to physically manifesting than to just look like you're there. You know what I mean?
That's fair. And it's an interesting question, right? Because of the dynamic, right? I, of course, and please, people, hear me when I say this. I am a very religious person. Like, I do. I'm going to Bible school. So I am not one of the people who are like sitting back like, God is a superstition. We're going to mass manipulate all these people and they're so dumb. Like, I'm totally on board with especially the tenets of the Christian faith. So with that in mind.
But you're also pretty on board with like anthropological and historical Christianity as well.
Yeah, totally. Which means that if I was to see Jesus in the sky, I'd first be a little bit suspicious. Okay, that needs to be the first step, because that's just not really how my cosmology is going to work. I don't really see it happening like that. But B, the dead giveaway for me on this, as I think it will be for most people if this were to ever happen, is the moment when all of the gods collapse in on themselves to reveal the one, like, supreme thing. Because it's this
Rick?
Idea.
It's Rick, isn't it?
No, it's not Rick. Oh my God, no. Because here's the idea. This is something that constantly gets like put forward, is this idea that all religions are inherently the same, they're all just variations on the theme, and that, you know, we need to stop fighting. And like, obviously I'm not promoting religious violence in any sort of way. We absolutely do not need to kill people over this. That being said, religions are fundamentally different. Like, Christianity is a fundamentally different religion from Buddhism, or if Buddhism's even a religion, it's more of a philosophy, but from Hinduism, from Islam, from Shintoism. It's fundamentally different.
It's a big statement. If you like zoom out a lot, they're usually, I mean, like, there's commonalities.
Right, of course. There's commonalities between everything if you zoom out far enough. But they are completely different in their specifics, in their presuppositions, and in their conclusions that they make. And so it would be at that point that I'd be like, nah, man, no, this isn't real. Like, if all of the different gods of the earth showed up and they were all like, we're really just the same thing, you're just making it too difficult, I'd be like, nah, I don't think so. I'm sorry. I just, on a personal level, I don't think that's true. And that's where the next step comes in. Because I think that will be what most people do. I really do. I think that maybe some people, it'll be enough for them to like unquestionably be like, yes, here we go, we're into it now. But Monast plans for this to specifically not be the last step. He understands that this is just something that paves the way for the later steps, which really seal the deal.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Because, like, so, I mean, that's what... So, I guess ultimately my question is, do you think that that particular part of this project or this conspiracy, do you think that has just aged out too much?
I think it
probably
would've...
With what we have technology-wise now.
Yeah, that's a good question. Probably, yeah. So, like, another part of this that gets incorporated that we weren't going to talk about at all is Tupac Shakur. We all know Pac. We all love him. Of course, at Coachella, all those years ago now, what feels like
2012,
decades,
right? I think
it was 2012. They got a hologram of Tupac, right? And it was amazing, and it like blew everybody's mind,
right? Which for that, I mean, we keep saying hologram, but like a holographic image.
Sure.
Or a holographic projection is
a three-dimensional projection,
right,
of Tupac.
And so here's the thing with projections, for the most part, like that. They have to be projected onto a very controlled surface.
Mm.
A lot of the really fancy projections that we have now that make it look like something is there is when it's projected onto a particular type of surface or in a very controlled environment in a room, not necessarily in the sky.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. Crazy things with reflections happen, and you can see cities in the skies sometimes with the correct atmospheric events.
Right. That's also Bluebeam.
Right. I did.
That's them testing.
I did a minor bit of research of ahead of this. Yes.
Mm.
But a lot of that is
bad idea.
Is a lot of reflective surface, because a lot of those that do pop up are relatively near like some sort of water system as well, which,
right,
water is reflective. So again, with the right atmospheric properties that happen, you can do that, because stage magic, some of it, like the early holograms, quote unquote, the way that we think of holograms now, at least, a lot of that was just a projection based off of a few different mirrors to make it look like someone was appearing on stage, but they're also very like ghostly-esque when really they're underneath the stage. And they did something similar with Tupac. It was a projection that was reflected.
He was underneath the stage? I knew it.
No, it was a projection that got reflected. Yeah, he was always there in Coachella.
I knew it, Pac. We missed you, Pac. Come back. What a wild way to end 2020, wasn't it? Tupac came back.
Well, none of us would recognize him, probably.
What? We'd recognize him.
I mean, I expect I guess my idea is that he's in a bunker somewhere and he hasn't changed or like done anything in the past 30 years
still
or so.
24, 25.
Oh, no. Like, yeah. I mean, like, he's aged, but like he hasn't been able to shave in that amount of time.
Oh, my gosh. Maybe he's already here. Maybe he's. I used to think that it was that Pac fake his death. I don't know if I still think like that. I definitely thought he would have come back by now if he had, but it could be reality is what we make it. So anyway, can I talk about part three of step two?
Yeah. So what's step three of
part three of step two?
Okay.
Yeah. Again, part one,
right?
Grandpa in the sky. Part two, grandpa in the brain. Part three is demon possession. I know what you're thinking.
Grandpa?
How did this happen?
Grandpa's not doing a very good job.
So, Project Bluebeam. No. In addition to making, well, they don't the projection is a real projection that happens in the sky. What you hear in your head obviously comes from out of space. So these are two different sources, the same source that makes what you hear in your head from outer space. It also has the ability to change your behavior, which is how we started that entire tangent. So by changing your behavior, they're going to make millions of people apparently demonically possessed at this point, which will destroy the social and religious order. And this is when the NWO will finally start to, like, make a public move, but they're going to do it through who else but the United Nations, okay? Because the United Nations are evil, okay? They're just wicked. They're just terrible. They are the New World Order, one way or the other. And at this point, the UN is going to begin drafting up the official One World Religion and will propose that the song Ode to Joy, that's going to be the anthem for the religion, which is an interesting thing to propose because I don't know any other religions that have anthems. They have hymns, but I don't know that they have one song.
I kind of love the imagery of, you know, the Antichrist riding along with, you know, the four horsemen and that playing.
Yeah, it's perfect. it's very much like something out of Good Omens, I feel like.
Yes. But absolutely.
It's very Terry Pratchett.
Man, I'm so bummed that Netflix did not pull that show.
What? What do you mean?
Oh, so people complained about it because it was like...
Right. Because it was Good Omens, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Great show.
And they petitioned Netflix to pull it, even though it was an Amazon Prime studio.
Oh,
so I was making fun of that.
It's not on Netflix.
No, it's not. But people thought it was, so they were petitioning Netflix, and Amazon's
and
over
Netflix
here like,
was like, guys, that's not our
show. That's not our show. We wish it was. It was great.
It was a good show, but it's not us. Sorry. Thank you for associating us with that quality of show. How dare they do any of that? Anyway, at this point, the entirety of the earth is going to have been A, assured of the existence of God, and B, thanks to the activations of millions of demonically possessed fundamentalists, pretty ready for something to change and for that God to do something. And that's where steps 3 and 4 come in. Now, step 3 is not very clear, and in fact, may actually just be step 2. Monas claims that during this step, two-way communication will occur using extra low frequency or very low frequency or just normal low frequency, depending on what lecture you're listening to. And that these waves that are used to carry these super low frequencies will be used to make each person feel like their God is talking to them specifically. So again, that's pretty much like step 2, but they're able to then talk back and like have a conversation.
So wait, how are we receiving these? Do we have implants that we're not aware of?
No, it's just beamed into our brains. Just like if you took,
but what's
you know how you can take a radio and put it next to your ear and you can hear it? It's the same concept.
Well,
except with
we're missing
brainwaves.
A step.
Are we? I don't know if we are.
Yeah. We absolutely are. My brain is not set up organically to pick up radio waves. So,
but it's set up to pick up brain waves.
Is it?
It's set up to do something with brainwaves.
I mean, okay.
So they just have to stimulate the neurons in the way. They just have to flood your head with electrical impulses. That's all.
I feel like that would just give me a seizure.
Yeah, probably.
Or make me dance, either one. Maybe both.
Or both. Yeah, that could be good.
Is that how I reboot my system?
Yes, you
I
just
probably
put your head in a bucket of electricity. Ooh. And it just it'll cure all that, cure everything, cure the sad times. Now,
The big sad?
Don't cure the big sad, people. Just, it's going to be okay.
Not with buckets of electricity.
No, and I don't even know what a bucket of electricity would look like functionally.
I imagine, the blue pail that you used at the beach to make
a blue bucket of gold.
No, like a blue bucket that you use to make sandcastles. Except you look into it and there's electricity around it. That's my imagining.
But what does that my look bucket. Like?
Electricity, Sam.
Okay. All right.
That's what it looks like. That anyway. Makes as much sense as everything else that you've said so far.
That's true. I guess that's fair in a way. Not in my way, but in a way. Anyway.
So wait, if I wear my tinfoil hat though, will that stop me from
Jason,
becoming an agent
be
of the NWO? Oh, okay. Okay.
Don't be offensive, Jason.
Okay. Only. I apologize.
So God's talking to you. You're talking to God. You're having a great time. You're not having a great time because millions of demonically possessed maniacs are running through the streets, destroying everything. So that's step three. It's not very clear. Step four.
So wait, why do demons need technology to possess us? Hypothetically.
Jason,
haven't demons possessed us for like
Jason,
hundreds of years?
They're
we
not,
talked about this.
Jason, they're not demons. Jason.
So, it's just brainwashing.
It's the satellite in the sky beaming into people's heads.
Okay.
That's what's doing this.
So not demons.
Not demons, no. But it's supposed to look like demons.
Okay.
All right. And that's because we need a religious victory to seal the deal of the new Messiah. Otherwise, no one's going to listen to him. Everyone's going to be like, I don't know about that guy or gal or thing. Whatever it is. Step four is where that thing comes into being, where it really pops off. I know you think that step number two is where things popped off, but you're wrong. Because here's the thing, okay? Are you ready? I've talked a lot about things that Serge Monast knows. And this is another thing that he knows that you will now know. Every electronic that's been manufactured since the space race has a secret microchip embedded in it that is tuned to the same frequency that the NWO satellites are able to broadcast at. The same way that they're going to make you think that God is speaking to you, make other people act like they're demonically possessed, they are going to make every electronic appliance in your house go crazy, as if it was a global wave of poltergeist activity, as if the whole earth was haunted at the same point.
So
things are gonna.
So at this point, then, every electrical engineer is in on it.
Yeah,
because
but they don't know.
Every piece of hardware has to be designed to have space for this chip.
Yeah, but the chip is secret. They don't know. They don't know.
Right, but what I'm getting at is that if you're designing something and it has to save space, which everything does, there has to be space for this chip, quote-unquote. So when you're designing something, you're not just leaving a hole there for, I don't know, some chip that we might need eventually.
It's built into all of the different... We have been taught that chips have to look or do a certain thing, act a certain way. But in reality, they don't. We only think that because they make space for this thing. And it's just part of how it works. I used to repair iPhones. I would open up an iPhone. I'd say, oh, that's the logic board right there. I could have touched it if I wanted to. I shouldn't, though, because of electrostatic discharge. It's deadly. But if I wanted to, I could have like looked at that and been like, oh, here's this, 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 and this. Except I would have been wrong because it would have been this, 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 and this. And the receptor for the New World Order satellite. But I wouldn't know that because I'm functionally blind to it because it's everywhere. It cancels itself out. Nobody knows what it is. It's like psychic paper. I don't know, dude. Don't punish me for Serge Monast's sins.
Okay. I don't get it.
I hate it here. Yeah, that's kind of the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
For you to not get it. So, all right. So the whole earth is haunted at the same time. Things are turning off and on. They might even be levitating through the air. Now, I will say that's something I made up. That is not something that Serge Monas says. But if you wanted to go down, you could make up some BS about like electrical and magnetic fields and it'd be fine.
I just feel like it'd be easier to make like the electric grid go in and out. Like,
well, that
you
could
know,
be.
Like just flip but the switch a few not, times.
But that's not as scary as like your blender just turning on. Right?
I mean, I guess. Then I'm like, oh, something's wrong with this outlet. What's wrong with my blender? Let's put it in a different outlet. You know?
But
like,
then it keeps happening.
Oh, so it's the outlets.
No,
it's what's wrong with this breaker?
But then it's happening with everything in your home at the same time. Think about how many things are plugged into outlets right now.
It'd be really frustrating.
It'd be terrifyingly frustrating. You would lose your mind.
What happens to everyone that has a pacemaker?
Yeah, they probably die.
And then come back? I don't
probably
specifically know how pacemakers work, but it is something that I would be nervous about if this kind of technology was built into those.
I think you should be nervous because I'm sure it is. I'm sure it's in those
okay.
as well. So you got knives flying through the air, which
Wait,
is
what?
Problematic.
My knives aren't electrical.
Yeah, but again, the magnetic and electrical
Oh, man,
fields.
The turkey saw. Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's bad. It's all very bad right now at this point during step four. So this is going to culminate in a massive worldwide consciousness shift. So this many people are going to be driven to madness. There's going to be waves of suicides because of the confluence of events. Others, primarily fundamentalist Christians who believe in the rapture, even though the rapture is not a biblical doctrine, please do not talk to me about that. They are going to believe, due to the messages that they're receiving internally, that the rapture is indeed nigh. Now, it's not exactly clear how this turns out, but in Monas' writing, these two facts, the rapture and the wave of suicides, they're always next to each other. And so it's possible that he's envisioning, like, a Heaven's Gate scenario where the Christians, the only good folk in Monas' mind who stand a chance against the NWO, are seriously crippled as a resisting force because huge numbers of themselves have died by their own hand because they think that it's the rapture and it's what they're supposed to do.
Wait, haven't the Christians seen their God in the sky?
Yeah, but then their God collapsed in on himself. And that's a really unsettling thing to see.
So wait. Why aren't they also turned into demonic possessed?
A lot of them are.
Robots. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of them are. But not
okay.
all of them.
Right.
Just a lot of them.
But why leave some out? I don't get it.
I don't get it either, Jason.
Okay. Okay. Cool.
Now, in any case, this is where the most important event of the entire series occurs, set against this backdrop of rapture, despair, death. There is going to be a massive worldwide false flag UFO invasion. All of the people of the Earth are going to be told that they will be obliterated in the morning, which is, of course, problematic because of the way that time works, and that their only salvation is the new Messiah.
So wait,
the Messiah.
Was it specifically talking about a certain point in time or just like your morning is when your doom will come?
Everybody's going to die in the morning
simultaneously, or
who knows, everyone's gonna die in the morning,
or like as the sun rises those
some people
those rays are just gonna fry you.
No, because it's a UFO invasion.
Oh,
the UFOs. Did I not say that? I might not have said
maybe you did and I just wasn't paying attention. I'm not sure.
The UFOs are going to land in the morning and kill everyone, and the only way out of this is the Messiah.
They have to travel really quick then, because what, the Earth rotates at like 1,000 miles an hour, right?
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is that for some people, the moment
How
that
they
hear
landing?
This, it'll be morning.
Right.
For other people, it'll be the early afternoon. We know how time works. I just don't know how they're going to make it a unified thing if it's in the morning.
I mean, if Santa
They
can
should
do
be
it,
saying, they... like, if it's Greenwich Mean Time, 7 a.m. GMT... That's when this is going down.
Right.
Not in the morning. That's very subjective. Anyway, so the Messiah himself, themselves, are similarly vague. Sometimes he is cast as a fulfillment of ancient prophecy, again with Monast overgeneralizing about religion. But other times, the Messiah is actually an opposing good alien fleet, which steps in at the last moment to destroy the bad guys. And it's important to note that this salvation only happens after every person on Earth essentially consents. Consents, I think is what I can't say this because my nose is plugged up. Every time they consent. There we go, consent. When every person on Earth consents. This is when the Messiah will show up. He'll stop the alien invasion one way or the other. And all of the people will then be bound to follow the religious system that the Messiah force wants to initiate, thus setting the stage for what comes next. And with the cosmic threat destroyed, the poltergeist activity, potentially cast as part of that phenomena, will likewise resolve, and the UN will roll out their One World Religion, which is the precursor to the One World Government, One World Banking, One World Culture that the UN and the NWO will implement over the next period of time. Before we look at some of the very specific aspects of what that looks like, it's important to see where Monast is getting these ideas and what evidence he has for these ideas. So let's pull back for a second, okay?
Wait, it's not divine revelation?
No, it's not.
What?
That's a good question. It's not. That does not mean that there is a lot of source material, but as far as I know, he never claimed it to be divine revelation. One thing that proponents of this theory, and there are those people, that they bring up is another conspiracy theorist, a woman named Betty J. Mills, who independently came to the same conclusion in 1991. This is not true. Years after Monast started propagating his theory, Mills independently mentioned that maybe one day the gods of all the people might be projected into the sky. Again, she says that in 1991. But there's little, if any, evidence at all to show that she wasn't influenced by Sage Monast. And it's been theorized that the actual source material of Bluebeam was a failed script proposed by our good man, our buddy, Gene Roddenberry, in 1975. He wanted to make a Star Trek movie about a flying saucer that sent down prophets, including Jesus, in order to advance its agenda. No question about it, that was shot down. The studios were like, absolutely not, we can't do that. So, later, it is used in the Star Trek Next Generation episode called The Devil's Due, which is where a race of aliens are experiencing earthquakes and the manifestation of an ancient god in the sky to prepare them for a lifetime of servitude. The ancient god in the sky basically is like a devil that they struck a deal with 1,000 years ago. The 1,000 years are up. Now the devil is going to destroy the earth unless they turn over all of their individual freedom to the devil itself and survive. So that's pretty on brand for what's going on here.
Yeah, that seems pretty spot on.
Seem pretty familiar. That episode, again, originally proposed in 75, it aired in 91, which is the same year that Mills made her independent, quote-unquote, claims, and really when Monast was going around, he was doing lectures and stuff like that. It's, of course, also when the internet, around the same time that the internet came out. So that all happened around the same time. Now, there is another piece of evidence that theorists are quick to put forward regarding the technical realities that they believe will be used in this terrifying, terrible attack on human dignity. One of these is a patent, or I don't know if it's a patent. Basically, the idea that the Air Force has an airborne holographic projector. Now, this is something you can actually find. It's referenced in a number of Bluebeam documents, and they all take you to the same place, which is a very sparse web page that's talking about this projector, and it's always titled Air Force 5.6 Airborne Holographic Projector. Now, it was originally hosted on the Air Force's Air University webpage back in 2003. And this page details a device that can be used to project a holographic image into the air to confuse enemy pilots or perhaps, the paper states, to be used for PSYOP activities. It's presented independent of context in all of these Project Bluebeam accounts, yet we know that it does somehow come from the Air Force. So, the real question is, what the heck's going on here? The original page is no longer accessible due, in no small part, to the Air Force rebranding the top-level domain of their Air University webpage, not necessarily due to conspiracy. However, what really interested me about this is the 5.6. It says 5.6 Airborne Holographic Projector. What does that mean? What is 5.6? Because it's definitely not like a patent number, because those are in the millions, and it's definitely not like a trademark number, because those are in the millions. So what is it? So I looked it up. I did a simple, simple Google search. How did I do the Google search, you might ask? I typed in Air Force 5.6 Airborne Holographic Projector in quotes into Google. That means it's going to come up with that exact term. That's a little hack for y'all. A little Google the quotes are for. Hack. It's what the quotes are for. Now, within a moment, shorter than even a single thought, I was presented with a very clear answer as to where this idea that the government has this thing comes from. What it is that in 1996, the Air Force did a little project to imagine what technology might be like in 30 years. Other imaginary projects included in this report, and there are about 42 different projects in this report, they include killer microbots, a mothership for unmanned aerial vehicles, or UAVs, offensive satellites, laser systems, asteroid mitigation systems. It does also include drones, so that's quite a thing.
Are they quadcopter drones, or are they like plane drones?
It's just an unmanned aerial vehicle assault. An unmanned aerial assault vehicle, basically.
Right.
It definitely looks a lot different, but the idea is the same.
Right.
And there are a number of things that have actually become a reality. Like, for instance, there's another one, which is a spoken word translator. I mean, we've got that now with Google Translate and the upcoming Apple Translate in iOS whatever. That's going to be pretty good. So that'll be neat. But the majority of things in this report have not materialized. Now, of course, there's the idea that what we see is always 30 years behind what we have, right? We've talked about that multiple times on the show. But that should mean that everything in this report is now common rather than just 5 or 6 ideas out of, I think, 42. Furthermore, why would the Air Force commission a study? And that's what this is. It's not just a loose connection of ideas. It's a study with actual like charts and graphs and like the energy and manpower that would go into these things. Why would it commission a study for something that it ostensibly already has had for decades, and has literally based the entirety of the turning points of world history on? Why would they do that?
For a paper trail.
For a paper trail. Sure. You need one of those. And the other idea is that, like, oh, well, maybe they commissioned it. Maybe, like, this happened in the report because they didn't know they already had it, because it's super top secret. Well, if that's the case, why would they let it be included in the report? But sometimes that's just how disinformation works, you know?
Lovely.
Anyway, in any case, there is only one piece of quote-unquote hard evidence that proponents of Project Blue Book have, which are reports that in 1991, the technology was used to project the face of Allah into the sky to tell the Iraqis to overthrow Saddam Hussein. Now, there are a few things that's wrong with this. A, there is no documentation apart from articles about Blue Book, or not Blue Book, damn it, articles about Blue Beam that this happened. And all of those articles use the exact same wording, so they're just copying each other. B, if it did happen, there's no documentation for it, and it also did not work. And C, if the Muslims saw a face in the sky, It could never be the face of Allah, because Allah does not have a face, a body, or any physical form. This is a non-negotiable aspect of Islam. It cannot be overstated. God does not have a form. Islam is infamous for, especially in like the early antiquity, or not antiquities, but as it's starting out, in the 6th century, it's infamous for the way that it goes in and it just smashes all of the other people's gods, because this idea of God having an image is completely and totally antithetical to the entire Islamic conception of God. And so the fact that Serge Manast and his people are saying that they're seeing the face of their God over in the sky, it just really underlines again this idea that they don't know what they're talking about, and that if they had any idea of what they were talking about, they wouldn't be saying it, because it's obviously ridiculous if you take even just the basic amount of time that it takes to learn about the people that you share this world with. But whatever, that's fine. So that's a quick little ABC of why that's not true. So there's no real evidence for Blue Book.
Again, for Blue Beef. Another one.
There's no real evidence for Bluebeam at all, to say the least. Yet it is worth looking a little closer to the idea of where this New World Order came from, where Monast gets this idea, and why it appeals to him so much. So to do that, really quick, let's look at what's going to happen after humanity gives up its freedom to the one world religion, the New World Order. By the way, that event, the false flag alien thing, and then the Messiah coming in and saving, that's known as the Night of 1,000 Stars. That's its code name. So keep that in mind. So
sounds
after
like
the
a
night,
pretty dim night.
Yeah, yeah, really. Not dimmer than my day right now. Because of
cloudy over there.
No, it's because of this. It's a metaphor.
Oh, okay.
This dims my life. No, it doesn't. It makes it better. Now, the first part of the New World Order comes down to citizenship, okay? After the Day of 1,000 Stars, you're going to have to transfer your citizenship from the obsolete dead countries of the Old World Order and swear an oath to Lucifer, the devil. Because once the New World Order is established, the first thing they're going to do away with is subtlety. Okay.
Oh, cool. So I don't have to wait in line then. I'm good.
No, you could anywhere you are, you can just swear an oath to Lucifer and you can join the New World Order. Just like that. Now, if you refuse.
How do they give me my new citizenship card? Do they mail it to me?
That's
a brand?
What, and here's the thing. I lied about that. I don't know if you can do it from your own house. You probably do need to go to like a government building to do it. So just keep that in mind.
Gotcha.
You're going to have to find a way to get to the government buildings and swear your oath to Lucifer. So pencil that in. If you don't do that, you are going to be used. You're going to fall into one of 7 classes of dissident, basically. If you're a Christian child, you will be turned into a human sacrifice. I'm sorry, that's just how it is. If you're grown, that may also happen to you, but you may also end up as a medical experiment, a forced organ donor, slave labor, or you could just be executed. There's also the possibility to go to a re-education center and then, after you're re-educated, to swear your oath to Lucifer and then be inducted into the New World Order, if you should survive that long. Now, our eagle-eared, keen-eyed listeners will only count 6 distinctions there. There is one final 7th classification. No one knows about that. No one knows what happens if you're part of the 7th group. I'm sure it's not very good. And this idea of a anti-Christian force behind the world powers plotting to destroy the Christian hegemony and kill those adherents to the religion is not a new one. It is a paranoid fever dream which has been around for quite a while, potentially born out of the fear that others will do to the Christians as the Christians did to them, because with the measure that you measure, so shall it be measured to you. In any case, there's often 2 culprits easily identified with this group: The first is the Catholic Church, obviously. They're going to take over the world because the devil has infiltrated the Catholic Church, and he is going to use it to destroy Christianity. This infiltration happened either in the 4th, 11th, 14th, or 20th centuries, depending on which variant you want. And that's one that most Protestants and non-Christians can get behind. But there's another culprit with even broader appeal, which is the Jews. Of course, the Jews have been the target of conspiracy theories for literally 3,500 years now, since before they were the Jews. Yet here we are in the year 2020 with conspiracies about shadowy organizations funding Black Lives Matter protesters and Zionists working to destabilize the global economy in order to facilitate the destruction of Christianity and the implementation of the New World Order. Anti-Semitism never gets old, it would seem. Now, this theory, the theory that the Jews are behind the New World Order and they're going to use it to kill the Christians, this is found a specific variation and formulation with the 1903 publication of The Protocols of the Elders of Zion. This is a book that presents itself as the recorded minutes of a meeting which took place between the members of a high-ranking, maybe even the highest-ranking Jewish cabal, discussing in detail the way that they're going to take over the world and make all the Gentiles their slaves. Anyone who resists will be murdered. The publication was, of course, found out to be a fabrication, exposed in the year 1921, but that hasn't stopped anti-Semites from using it to whip themselves into a furious rage for the last 100 years. For instance, the publication was used to write school books for German children in the Third Reich. Now, the fact that Monast was aware of and consciously using the Protocols of the Elders of Zion to fuel his own ideas is beyond debate, as he published in the mid-90s a book called The Protocols of the Elders of Toronto, which alleges a secret society had taken root in Toronto 20 years previous and was working to implement the New World Order in Toronto. The fact that Monast claimed that Christian children specifically would be used as human sacrifices is a disgusting echo of the trope of blood libel, which is the claim originating in medieval times that Jews used the blood of Christian children to make their matzah on Passover. Of course, this has been used as justification to kill a terrifying amount of people. Now, speaking of children, another aspect of the conspiracy theory is that Monast were taken from him for speaking the truth. They were never returned to him because he was a proud freedom fighter. But in reality, his kids were taken from him because he refused to send them to school. He claimed that he was teaching them everything they needed to know at home. Jason, how likely do you think it is that they were getting a well-rounded education?
Define well-rounded.
Anything
what I believe
not
is well-rounded
about...
or...
No, anything that's not about the globalist conspiracy. You could even teach them globalist conspiracy for 5 hours of the day and just have 1 hour of non-globalist conspiracy time. Do you think that's what was happening with the kids?
No, absolutely not.
No, I don't think so either. So the government takes his kids. That happens in September of what year? I can't remember. Anyway, whatever year this is, it happens in September. In December, he's arrested. Because I don't know exactly why. I think it has something to do with this, and he's like really mad. He's like making threats to the government and stuff like that. So they arrest him. He spends one night in jail. He comes home and he dies of a massive heart attack the next day. Now, according to conspiracy theorists, this is because he was killed using the exact thing that he fought so hard to destroy, because apparently Bluebeam has the ability to create heart attacks in people, because why wouldn't it? It can do everything else under the sun. But he dies at age 51, definitely not because he was under a huge amount of stress, probably lived a pretty unhealthy lifestyle, and literally believed that the government was keeping his children and torturing them because he was speaking truth to power. So, and like Jason said, that's where the notes just end. That's all the information that I have. And honestly, I don't, if Jason wants to talk about it, we could talk about it, but I don't want to talk about it anymore.
I mean, there's a couple things that I want to talk about.
Please talk, please.
Wrapping up thoughts and notes.
Yeah.
So first off, if you want a conspiracy to die, you don't make the man that came up with the conspiracy a martyr. You discredit him, disprove him consistently, until he fades away. So I don't really see much of a point of killing him when he's when that would only help the quote-unquote movement. But what I'm taking from this, like, again, I like what I hit on at the beginning of the show, is that you can separate the whole religious aspect of it from the idea that the government will use holographic projections in order to captivate and to essentially brainwash the general public to usher in some new world order. Like, that seems like two very different things. Mm-hmm. But what I think ultimately this conspiracy is made up of is a inherent fear and ignorance of both technology and religion.
Mm-hmm.
And a bunch of fear mongering in between that. Because it's one thing to do cool movie special effects. It's another thing to essentially make that a reality, because you're not looking through a camera frame in real life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if we're going back to Star Wars, a lot of that was miniatures.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the cool special effects from that time point were miniatures or animatronics, real special effects, and not CGI. And then if you're looking at more modern movies, it's primarily CGI, but again, it's a lot of trickery of the eye as well that's still practical. Like, for example, Lord of the Rings, a really cool trick of the eye that they did was when Gandalf is speaking to Frodo in his home and they're at the kitchen table, because mm-hmm. the actors are the same exact size, but what they did was build a very special table that and then a very particular rig to thus move and spin around and still get the appropriate size difference between mm-hmm. the two actors, and also keep their perspective correct as it went around the table, which was I don't think done previously, which was really cool as a way to kind of like solidify and give credence to the reality of their size difference and trick the audience that way. And I this seems to me like a misconception and again an ignorance of movie magic,
mm-hmm.
new technologies, being fearful of them, and then also a hyper religious fear as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then boom, we get Project Blue Beam, which does also just kind of sound like a riff, which you have mistakenly said numerous times already, of Project Blue Book. So I don't really understand why anyone has taken this for credence, or given this any credence. And you've also made perfectly clear your stance on this whole idea and put up some very good rebuttal against it, because you're right. I mean, we're 30 years down the line from this and none of it makes sense on a technological standpoint, knowing what we know now and using the technology that we have today. This just wouldn't fly, really. I think we all would be skeptical enough if you're living in a 21st century, if you're living in the 21st century, like, none of this particularly makes sense or seems plausible to where we would be, like, goofed too much into believing this.
I agree. I think that if this was going to happen, it's a fine theory. And I think it could have been plausible in 1983, which, by the way, 1983... it was supposed to happen in 1983 because it was the impetus for what happens in 1984. That
right.
was the idea of the book, 1984. So that was the idea on Monast's side. So in 1983, if this had happened, it very well could have been like a, oh my gosh, total acceptance. Yeah, this is real. There's this picture of a Macy's Day Parade balloon that got loose. It's of a dinosaur. it landed on a beach like a few miles away. And people were freaked out. They were like, holy crap, something has come out of the ocean to kill us. And then they're like, oh, wait, this is a balloon, once they got closer and actually examined it. I think it could be the same thing in this situation. Like, we could have been afraid of the balloon. Now we have moved too close to the balloon, and it simply wouldn't work.
Right,
but
that illusion
I do think
gets
that
broken.
I do think that that is also part of Monas' brilliance in this, in his own terrible way, of implementing those other stages then to deal with that. To say, okay, even if people aren't going to believe this one right off the bat, we're going to do this and this and this and this. And it's very much like, if you just hit them with enough things fast enough, they're not going to know what to do. Which I think, if we look at the year 2020, has proven to be true. If you're hit with enough things fast enough, you kind of just get overwhelmed and you can't necessarily interact in a rational way with every single thing. But yeah.
Well, as this series goes, again, it's a conspiracy that I just don't understand.
That's Bluebeam. That's a frickin' wrap, because I'm done with it. He's an anti-Semite. He's a crazy person. He has no empathy, it would seem, for other people. He at least no curiosity about other people's religions, because he makes such basic, ridiculous things. It's just wild. But I figured we'd mention it just in case it does happen. So there's that. All right.
Lovely.
Well, this was fun. Jason, No, it wasn't. Next week, you're going to be talking to us. What are you going to be talking to us about?
We're going to be talking about a cryptid that lives down in the Congo, which that should be enough information to give everyone a pretty good lead of what we're going to be talking about. Stay tuned. It should be fun.
I love it.
All right. Has an adjacent theme to this.
Does
awkwardly
it?
Enough. Yes.
Okay, I'm excited. That'll be good. All right, I've got nothing else. Who did it last week?
I want to say I did.
I think you did too.
Right? That makes sense.
Yeah, because I did it 2 weeks before, so that makes
sense.
All right, remember, whether you're sitting at home eating potato chips and your blender turns itself off and on and off and on, or you're out on your deck eating potato chips and your grandfather appears in the sky above you, you are
not alone.